I love the scripture readings from this time of year. One of my favorite is the one that I'll be reading today from the Gospel of Luke, where we backtrack a bit from last week and go back to the angel's announcement that Mary is going to have a baby who will be the Son of God. Join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your words we may become your glad and faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hear the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Nativity scenes have long held a special place in my heart. The various representations of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus in a manger, surrounded by a menagerie of animals, angels, and amiable shepherds, always fills my soul with wonder and delight. My collection of nativity sets has expanded over the years, aided by friends and family. I'm the proud owner of nativity sets from the Philippines and Playmobil. The nativities are lovingly crafted in all sorts of materials, cloisonné, clay, and clothespins. When our children were young, my nativities covered every available flat space in our home. And as in all good clergy families, our children learned early on that the baby Jesus did not belong in the manger during Advent. So we tucked away all the little Lord Jesuses until after Christmas Eve service, when joy to the world, the Lord is come, and all the miniature mangers could officially receive their King. I'm always on the lookout for nativities. And lo and behold, this year, a new depiction of that holy night came to my attention. On a beautiful, bright Thursday morning, the first day of December, the ladies from my Thursday morning Bible study journeyed to the little town of Antioch for our annual Christmas tea. As we turned off the main street towards the tea shop, One of the ladies in my van pointed to a shop window and cried, "Did you see that?" I craned my head in a futile attempt to try and see what she saw, and caught a passing glimpse of a nativity scene that filled the entire window display. With such a quick look, it bore further review. So following tea, a few of us bustled down the street to check it out. And there they were, behind a huge pane of glass, the Holy Family, a life-size Holy Family, a life-size plastic unholy family. Now, no offense to those of you who have similar holy families standing vigil in your front yards, but as much as I love nativity scenes, I do not much care for giant plastic nativity scenes. And even if plastic nativity scenes were my favorite, this particular pliable presentation still would have been too much for any respectable clergywoman to bear. Some things simply should not be put on public display. There she was, dear Mary, the Blessed Virgin kind, her white plastic face frozen in fear, as if she'd just seen a ghost and not a holy one. Joseph, clothed in egg yolk yellow, knelt beside his pasty, not quite wife. Behind them, a shepherd in hues of brown that looked like he'd been out in the field keeping watch over his flock by night, gathered along with a few tentative wise men draped in turquoise turbans and magenta shawls, their gold, frankincense, and myrrh molded right into their plastic hands. Every single one of these stiff plastic people were aimed face forward, their painted plastic eyes staring in wonder at something that lay off in the corner of the display. But not only was there no crib for a bed, there was no manger and no baby either. Perhaps you're thinking that this particular nativity scene left the baby Jesus out in a nod to the true theological understanding of Christmas that our children learn at an early age, that we don't display the infant no crying he makes until Christmas Day. Nay, it was not so. For there in the corner, the object of such interest on the part of the holy entourage, stood a television set. Tune in, I'm not kidding you, to a Charmin commercial. One can only imagine the conversation between those wise men. Melchior, look at that, toilet paper. What a great idea. Where can we get some? Wait, what's a toilet? Now, practically speaking, toilet paper would have been a much more welcome gift than frankincense and myrrh. Still absorbing the shock of seeing a TV in the nativity, it took us a few minutes to realize that in an adjacent window, the plastic baby Jesus lay in a manger, separated from his plasticine parents by a large plaster wall, with nothing but a sinister-looking plastic lamb to keep him from all evil. Is that where polyester comes from, plastic sheep? Well, the lamb that crouched next to the unsuspecting infant was no cute woolly baa lamb. No, no. This one had a hideous, carnivorous look on his face. What child is this who, laid to rest in a plastic manger, is not sleeping? Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, what have we done to you? Not only are your new parents and the unwise men captivated by a commercial for toilet paper, they have completely lost sight of you and abandoned you to the mercy of an evil sheep. How can this be? How can this be? It is the question of the ages, the question of our faith. How can this be? Mary asked when the angel Gabriel appeared out of the clear blue sky and told her she was going to bear the Son of God into the world. How can this be? That God would choose a young, unsuspecting girl in a small town in a certain place in history to bring the Word of God, become flesh, to dwell among us? And how can it be that Jesus will ever want to come back into this crazy world? A world where the child of Bethlehem is rendered in plastic, the incarnate Word of God guarded by a carnivorous lamb. A world where every year we celebrate his holy birth by rushing helter-skelter to the shopping malls to overload our credit cards and our kids with gifts we can't afford and which they do not need. A world where the star of wonder, star of night, star of holy beauty bright has been replaced by strings of electric lights. A world where we build walls between ourselves and others, even those who need us most. A world where we abandon Jesus to a back room because we're so glued to our TVs and laptops we don't even notice he's missing. How can this be? How can this be that we have turned the most holy and glorious gift from God into a commercial advertisement? Now, you probably think I'm being all preacher-like, bashing the commercialism of the season. Okay, you caught me. That was my intent when I first started writing this sermon. But as the words tapped out of my fingertips, I got to thinking about all the commercialism and what it does to Christmas. And I came to a different understanding this year. Now, perhaps this has never been said from a pulpit before. Commercialism and consumerism isn't the enemy of Christmas as we always claim it to be. It is all part of the whole crazy Christmas story. And I love it. I love the Christmas music that bombards us from elevators and radio stations and department stores, and I know we're only supposed to listen to Advent music until Christmas, but I can't do it. I feel like a clergy criminal as I stream Christmas music through my laptop all day and into the evening. I have the radio station in my car turned to 99.1, the Christmas station. And I don't tire of the songs. I know Bing Crosby's voice better than my own, and like Bing, I am dreaming of a white Christmas. Silent Night is just as awesome the 10,000th time as it was the first time I ever sang those words. Some of the most beautiful music ever written has been inspired by the birth of one miraculous child. And that music is being played all over the world in these weeks leading up to Christmas. Imagine that. Even people who have never set foot in a church listen to music that proclaims the holy birth. All those strings and strings of Christmas lights, I love them. I love the sparkles and twinkles and icicles and blue and red and green and purple and white. I love seeing whole streets lit with white milk cartons, plastic milk cartons, even if people put them there just to keep up with the neighbors. I know that these luminaria light the way for the Christ child. And if they help Santa guide his sleigh, so what? All those Christmas lights tell us about the light of the world. And even people who don't believe in that light decorate their houses in preparation for his coming again into the world. The stacks of Christmas cards crammed in our mailboxes and email inboxes, why bother to send Christmas cards and letters to people who don't keep in touch with us during the rest of the year? It's a big expense and time. Bah humbug! Yet as we grumble Grinch-like, the cards and letters arriving from long-lost friends so often bring a smile to our face, and a memory of the past comes alive in our heart, and we know that we are treasured, even just being on someone's Christmas card list. The presents and wrapping and standing in long lines at the post office, desperately trying to get packages in the mail on time, pure craziness. But at least once a year, we think beyond our own wants to find a gift that will brighten the Christmas of the uncle who never had any children, and the friend who stood by your side during a crisis long ago, and the sister I never see, who misses her father as much as I do. Perhaps it is true, much of the time, we're facing in the wrong direction, leaving Christ to contend with creepy sheep on his own. But isn't that what Christ does? Tend to his sheep, no matter how creepy or wretched or lost we may be? No matter how far we have strayed from his presence during the past year, the lost lambs are the ones Christ came to find and to save. How can this be? Because that is the surprising wonder of a God who loves us beyond all reason, who seeks to find us and save us as Christ does, even amidst the tinsel tunes and electric stars. You know, commercialism has been part of Christmas for a long time. That census that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in the first place was a cheap attempt on the part of the establishment to bring in a little cash into the kingdom. Talk about commercialism, we've got nothing on the Romans. So how can this be? How can this be that the obnoxious commercialism with which we are saturated every year is actually, dare I say it, a Christmas miracle? How can this be that every year we seek to reclaim the gifts of hope and love and joy and peace, and believe that maybe, just maybe, we'll find them? How can this be that once a year, much of the world, without even trying, points to the one silent night when a weary woman gave birth in a barn, and angels sang, and shepherds stumbled to see this great thing that had happened, that the Lord had made known to them? How can this be that a cartoon character with a Donald Trump hairdo who sucks his thumb and carries a blanket is the one who reminds us every year what Christmas is all about? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This year, I found the Christ child in a holy parade of plastic figures, watching a commercial for toilet paper. I dare say Christ has been found in stranger places than that. And as I stood before a shop window in Antioch, Illinois, I could not help but burst into laughter, a wonderful, holy kind of joy. I haven't laughed that hard in a long, long time. It felt good. It felt great. It felt like Christmas. So I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus. And let all God's people say, Amen.